In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in
our
shadow.
In our culture, and in general, we have a tendency to be secular materialists. And what this means is that the lens by which we view the world is viewed with the sacred, with God removed from it, and all that is left is materialism, psychology. Our answers are given to us, we feel, from science, from empirical evidence of watching and looking at reality. And we live in a very disturbed time. Of course, we've been disturbed by a virus. And over this last year, being a political year, we're now disturbed by the turmoil and the upheaval that is within our country between all the factions who have their hackles out. And in the background, the assumption, again, for most of us, is that there is something that needs to be done, something more that needs to be said. And we've often removed God from the picture in our own hearts and in our minds. And we think that there's some reasonable way, through the exercise of logic or reason, or through the proper negotiations, or possibly through science, that we will figure it all out and that somehow peace could be restored through human effort alone. Somehow through our working. She almost made the sermon, but it's famous. But there's more to the story from a Christian point of view. Because the Christian point of view is that our world is primarily a spiritual arena, a place of the battle between good and evil, a place where within our own souls and within our own lives, we are constantly, whether wittingly or unwittingly, engaged in a spiritual battle. And so our interpretation of the events of our day, whether it be a virus or whether it be the political turmoil, is always to approach, or we're encouraged to approach it, with our spiritual eyes on. To recognize that there are demonic elements that seek to destroy us, to disturb us. Now, that's not to say that demons created a virus, but it is to say that they would use this virus and the sinful dispositions of our soul to warp us and turn us against each other, to add the stress that's needed to make a nice brew of chaos. And this is the same, of course, with politics, which is a very, very passionate sort of thing in our country, as much as football and as much as anything else that we find meaningful. Because we're affected by it. That our souls are so deeply stirred by these things. And the devil, of course, knows this. That he can simply throw out a few shiny lures for us. And he'll snag us every time. Just like the fisherman with a fish. So we are taught that we must be weary and look at life in a spiritual manner. To be aware of the disposition of our soul, to be aware of what we gravitate towards and what hooks us. Today, actually, we celebrate a great saint of the church, Saint Anthony, one of the first monastics, not the first, but one of the first and most famous monastics of the early church. And we're talking about in the year, in the 300s, where he began his illustrious career as a monk. The only reason we know about St. Anthony is because St. Athanasius, the deacon who fought at the First Ecumenical Council, who later became a bishop of Alexandria, wrote his life not as a legend of someone that he had heard about, but someone that he actually knew, someone that he spent time with and that he witnessed, someone whom he was apparently close to. And I tell you this because oftentimes within the lives of the saints, we have these second and third hand and, you know, fifth generation stories that were passed down orally. This wasn't the case. This was someone who experienced him directly. And then at the end of his life, he wished he had experienced him more. But he said, I can only write that which I know. And I've heard also a few other stories. And he writes the life of St. Anthony, and there are a few things that are highly prominent in St. Anthony's life. Well, I guess I'll start with a very brief outline. St. Anthony was raised by wealthy parents as Christian in a time when he could be raised as a Christian. But his parents died at a young age, and he was still devout. He was left with his sister. And as he was walking by a church or walking in a church, he heard a scripture. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And it struck him to his core. He heard God speak to him directly through the scripture. This is one of the themes throughout St. Anthony's life, is that as he read the scripture, or as he heard the scripture, and often he was quoting the scripture, that the scripture would pierce and penetrate down to the core of his being. And that being a simple person, he obeyed it. He obeyed the commands of God. He went out, he sold what he had, and he began to try to take care of his sister, but also he ended up putting her in a convent so that she would be taken care of, and he went out into the Egyptian desert. Now, if you read the life of St. Anthony, the other prominent feature is going to be his struggle with himself. He's aware that he is easily deceived. He's aware that within his own life that he could be given over to wealth, gold. He's aware that he could be given over to lustfulness. He's aware that his food and his belly might dominate him. And so he practices asceticism, fasting, prayer, cutting off his own will. He seeks someone to guide him, but at the time, there wasn't anyone. So he goes out into the wilderness, into the desert, to find solitude and to train and strengthen his inner life with God. The next prominent feature of St. Anthony's life is that his entire life, there are stories of fighting with demons. Every single form of the demonic realm is manifested in the life of St. Anthony, where he was physically whipped and beaten by demons, where he was challenged by wild animals that when he prayed disappeared because the wild animals manifested themselves, the demons manifested themselves to scare him as wild animals. How the devil in his cunning often would even come and pretend to be a monk, trying to bring him favor. Sometimes the devil manifested himself as prophecy. The devil going before him and coming to tell him some future event that would happen in order to trick him into believing that that voice of that devil was the Holy Spirit, or somehow that he was special because he could see the future. Very strong theme within St. Anthony's life. He talks about the world being that as he looks out into the world, he sees snares everywhere. That the devil, that the demons walk about, that they try to ensnare us, they try to hook us, they try to get us to become self-satisfied, to turn away from God, to become self-reliant, and to take pride in ourselves. The famous story of his fight with demons is when he locked himself up in a tomb And this is where I said he was beaten and whipped by demons. And people came and they opened the door and they said, no one's there. When he came out of the situation, the story goes that a beam of light came from the top of the tomb. And he asked God, why, if you come here now, after all this fighting's gone on, why are you here all of a sudden now? I mean, come on, I just did the war. Where were you, right? And God replies to him that I was watching the fight. That fight was for your benefit. So we must not be quick to think that when we're fighting with our own inner passions, and when we're fighting with the devil, who is always out there trying to challenge us, that God is somehow cruel. One of St. Anthony's quotes in his later life is, without temptations, nobody will be saved. Without testing, the same sort of testing we see in the book of Job, there's no way for us to really stay faithful to Christ. As Jesus says, you know, if God is always good to us and we are always feel as though we're blessed in some way and we never have to suffer. Jesus didn't say this. I'm saying it, by the way. Just technical. You'll be looking for it in the Bible. He didn't say that. But if God is always positive, good, and it's always glory and joy, then there's no place for us to show faithfulness. There's nothing for us to overcome if he overcomes everything for us. So we've been promised persecution and struggles, and that the Christian life, as though it's full of joy, is also full of the suffering of dealing with real life circumstances, which are filled with spiritual meaning and filled with spiritual attacks. Now, I want you to notice also, St. Athanasius does not psychologize St. Anthony. He doesn't say, well, all these demonic stories are very interesting. Really, it's just a nice way of saying he really struggled on the inside. He was searching for fulfillment, and it just, you know, he really wrestled. Again, no, in the church, in our belief, in the way we view the universe, we acknowledge the reality of the principalities and powers that are seeking to destroy us, and that if left to their own devices, would destroy us. This theme is very present within the life of St. Anthony. St. Anthony lives his life, he founds monasteries. It's a very beautiful story. I encourage you to read it. It's not incredibly long, actually. It's 100 chapters, but a chapter means a paragraph. So it's not that long. And it's well written. It's beautiful. And ultimately, very edifying for the soul to read. He dies. He ends up dying in his old age. He's 105 years old. I believe the year is around 356. So we have this historical kind of rootedness of this life of this great and amazing saint. And he leaves his coat, one of his coats and some of his garb to St. Athanasius to hold on to it. And he says this is like a precious thing to him. So this is a very much more concrete story than some of the lives of the saints that we hear. All of this to teach us a few things. One thing, it is important that we fill our lives with the Scripture. God speaks to us through the Scriptures. When we dedicate our lives to the studying of Scriptures, we increase the opportunity for God to pierce our soul and to teach us and to guide us. Secondly, we are guaranteed to have inner struggles, and we are guaranteed to fight with the devil as Christians. We are warriors for Christ. That is what we're called to. That is what it says in the baptismal prayers. And there is no moment in our life when the devil isn't trying to trick us up very cunningly and to compromise us, either to cause us to sin or to cause us to enslave ourselves. So as we go out into this world, which has a lot of chaos, politics, a virus, disturbed relationships, and whatever else you may encounter, remember, this is a spiritual war. Turn to God and with all of your might and ask Him to help you, to guide you. This, again, is a strong theme within Anthony. Anthony never says, "I defeated the demons." He always says, "Why do you marvel? Isn't God great? God did this for me. God accomplished this healing. God accomplished this victory." We also need victories. May we lean on Christ to accomplish them for us. And may St. Anthony intercede for us before the Lord God that we follow His path. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.